Welcome to this week's edition of the Retail Risk Podcast, sponsored by Axis Communications. Thanks also to 3X Logic for their continued support. I am at Retail Risk Sydney this week inside the Stadium Australia, or the Accor Stadium as it's been recently renamed. I'm delighted to say that this week we are going to bring you the two title sponsor presentations from Sydney. That is from Centomatic and Ethica. We have a packed house here. It's amazing to get together, and we have the Australian Fraud Awards this evening. But as a special treat for this week's edition of the podcast, we have Centomatic first, and then we'll be hearing from Brett Small at Ethica. So enjoy.
Welcome from Chicago in the United States. I'm Brian Field. I'm a Senior Director of Global Retail Consulting from Sensormatic Solutions. And thank you for joining me today as we look at shopper behavior in Australia and in New Zealand from 2021 through recent weeks and provide you with some trends that can help you better manage your retail operations this year. So some of you may remember me from last year's retail risk event, so I'll keep my introduction short. My team works with retailers and shopping center operators alike to help improve overall profitability. We leverage Sensormatic Solutions' vast array of data in combination with your own information and many other resources. And as you can see from this slide, I've personally worked over 40 years in the retail industry, working in stores, in the buying line, creating training, doing analysis, and directing store finance and store operations along the way. My team is similarly made up of veteran retailers and data scientists, and we take a behavioral view towards the data that we are working with. So if you have any questions on what we do or on this presentation, I'll give you my contact information at the end of the presentation. So today we're going to look at a couple different areas. First, we're going to look at how brick and mortar shopping behavior has changed over the last 6 months of the pandemic. Then we're going to look at how this behavior, as measured by in-store traffic, matches up with consumer sentiment. Then we're going to look back at the 2021 holiday season's top days from a traffic perspective. And then finally, we're going to finish up with some thoughts on what we can expect during the rest of this year. So many of the visuals that we're going to be reviewing come from Sensormatic's complimentary weekly global coronavirus report. And if you're not already subscribing to it, you can get a free copy by signing up for it at the link that you see on your screen. So let's start by looking at in-store traffic trends in comparison to the impact of COVID-19. So on the vertical axis of this scatter graph, we've mapped traffic for mid-February of this year in comparison to the same time frame last year for a bunch of different countries. And then on the horizontal axis, we're showing the 7-day total of new confirmed coronavirus case counts per 100,000 population for the same period as the traffic. And if you think about the four quadrants of this graph, the lower right represents countries with a higher infection rate and with the biggest negative impact on retail store traffic. While in the upper left, it's showing countries with lower new case counts and with better retail traffic performance. So always want to end up in the upper left. That's the best area. And you can see that some of the countries we're looking at are pretty spread out, but there is a concentration of geographies in the lower risk, higher retail impact quadrant. And this is also where Australia and New Zealand are both currently situated. For these countries, relative to the full data set, the pandemic case counts are more manageable, but the general shopping public has yet to return to rates approaching the last pre-pandemic year, 2019. So let's focus in on Australia and New Zealand results since the beginning of September 2021. The green line represents weekly year-over-year traffic results, while the red line indicates the number of new COVID-19 case counts each week. So over time, traffic has steadily improved for Australia. Back in September, you can see that the year-over-year traffic was down negative 43% and has gradually improved all the way up to being nearly flat in 2022. That's a strong improvement. And I wanted to zoom in on the last 6 weeks because they're really hard to read if you just look at the larger graph, and that's what you see in the upper right. As you can see, new case counts spiked significantly from only a couple hundred to several thousand in mid-January when COVID-19 variants started to spread. But since that time, the number has dropped back down into the hundreds, and store traffic has continued to improve. So there's no need to break things out for New Zealand because the results have been more gradual. New Zealand went from a depth of negative 98% in year-over-year traffic in September all the way up to negative 20% range more recently. And some of that great drop in September was due to lockdowns. So the real improvement began as the government started to ease restrictions. As you can see from the red line, that New Zealand experienced their own relative spike in new COVID-19 cases per capita in November. And unfortunately, they're experiencing it right now. So leaving aside hard infection rates right now, we also wanted to get an idea about how shoppers were thinking about shopping from their own personal economic perspective. Roy Morgan is Australia's best known and longest established market research company, and they publish an ongoing look at consumer confidence that we wanted to match up our own year-over-year traffic trends to, extending back to 2019, just before the pandemic. So on this graph, we've plotted consumer confidence in orange and traffic in blue. And interestingly, the two lines are remarkably consistent, with the exception being for exaggerated traffic drops due to government lockdowns. So confidence pre-pandemic was at 108 in February 2020 and started to regain some of the momentum at the same time in 2021, a year later, when it hit 110. So coinciding with variant outbreaks and targeted lockdowns last summer, both traffic and confidence took another hit. But as we head into February, confidence is hovering around 101.5 as traffic starts to return towards positive numbers. So this is a real positive sign for the rest of the year. So in New Zealand, there's a similar story, while not quite as well correlated. Consumer confidence was at 122 in February 2020, pre-pandemic. You can see the drop in both confidence and in in-store traffic in April as both increased infections and lockdowns occurred. You start to see things improve in October 2020 and then another dip in September 21 with more lockdowns. So since that time, traffic has improved significantly, while confidence levels have actually dropped a little bit, finishing this past January at 97.7. So a little bit more of a ways to go for the confidence. So since we've been talking about January consumer confidence, let's look back at the holidays. What you are seeing on your screen are the top five in-store traffic shopping dates from this past season. And as in past seasons for Australia, Boxing Day and the day before Christmas Eve were top dates, and they were followed by November 27th, which coincides with the American Black Friday weekend, and December 22nd, which is the Wednesday before Christmas, and December 18th, which is Super Saturday, the Saturday before Christmas. So in New Zealand, it was a similar story, except for the inclusion of the observed dates for Boxing Day and Christmas Day. And then the final one is again, Super Saturday. So what trends can we expect for the rest of 2022? There are three primary themes that we've uncovered in our research. I'll be taking you through each theme and tying them together for you as we go. So we've already talked about the first one. In-store retail isn't at risk. It's clearly very healthy. If you remember that scatter graph and how traffic has started to come back, although the comeback is very different depending on the region and depending on the sector. Number two, consumers are pushing retailers to figure out better fulfillment options, which is forcing retailers to think differently about inventory, about labor, and about revenue attribution. And then the third one is going to be job availability isn't really the issue. It's finding the workers. This is creating supply chain service gaps. So let's talk for a moment about shopper intent. Before internet shopping exploded, retail was very linear. Consumers browsed, purchased, and took home their acquisitions all from inside of a retail store. Now shoppers can mix and match in almost any way they want to and get their purchases fulfilled through many different options. And then during the beginning of the pandemic, we heard from many retailers who were hurriedly changing their fulfillment practices to keep up with shopper demand, an ironic change from 2019 when more advanced retailers were actually struggling to get consumers to embrace these new channels. So since fulfillment options lead back to the store, the old method of dividing revenue between stores and e-com is no longer practical. Stores will need to have more labor to take care of the online order fulfillment, and traditional point of sales revenue won't cover that need. Plus, item level inventory distribution will need to be both reconsidered and exceptionally accurate to fulfill both in-store and online distribution center orders. So let's look at how serious the labor shortage is for retail supply chains. As we saw earlier, retail is making a comeback, which means that there is more demand for goods. Currently, hundreds of container ships are queuing for access to overloaded ports, including in the United States and in China. In addition, in Europe and the US, freight driver shortages mean it's harder to move containers to their destinations once they do get on land. So how will shoppers' demand be fulfilled, especially if inventory visibility is limited? So speaking of those shoppers, Sensormatic did a survey of shoppers around the 2021 holiday season, and 65% of consumers indicated they choose an in-store shopping experience for product-related issues. McKinsey & Company also did a consumer sentiment survey recently and noted that between 30 and 40% of consumers switch brands and retailers, with a primary driver being stock availability. So in other words, if the retailer doesn't have the inventory right, the customer will simply move on to one that does. This again highlights why inventory accuracy and transparency is becoming the primary driver of customer satisfaction. And here's a final thought. Pre-pandemic, retailers measured how they performed using an overall customer satisfaction score. What is their CSAT score? Based upon the retail consulting practices believes will happen now and in the rest of 2022, that satisfaction could boil down to one factor, which is accuracy of inventory. So thank you so much for your participation today. I hope you found the information helpful as you look back at last year and look ahead to this year. This is my contact email in case you have any questions or you just want to talk about retail. I've also listed again the link for you to sign up for our weekly traffic and coronavirus report.
These days, surveillance cameras aren't just for monitoring a specific area, because with analytics, those cameras can do so much more. Like with any new development, there has been some hype, some disappointments, and lots of new options for the collection and use of data. Axis enables a smarter and safer world by creating network solutions that provide insights for improving security and new ways of doing business. For more information about Axis, please visit our website, www.axis.com.
Hello, everyone. It's very nice to be presenting to you digitally today. Very excited about the Retail Risk event, hoping to see plenty of people there and hoping to see some of you online who are online this time, potentially in person next time. My name is Brett Small. I'm the General Manager for Ethica across AP. I've been doing this role for almost 7 years now, building the Ethica network. But today I'm here to talk to you about some of the observations that we've made as a business around some of the changes in fraud and chargebacks, and more importantly, the changing expectations of consumers, cardholders, customers, and what they're expecting in a modern customer experience. So I'll first share some statistics that we've noted. Some of them are, most of them are post-COVID statistics. Some of them are pre-COVID as well. So I'll touch on some of the changes that we've noticed. I think no one would be too surprised given COVID that we've obviously seen a significant digital boom. We've seen a combination of increased retail sales in general, and obviously COVID and lockdowns, certainly in my hometown of Melbourne, have driven a lot more people online. And as a result, we're seeing a huge increase in online transactions. And that's a global trend, but it's certainly something we're seeing in Australia, in AP as well. So, in terms of actual pure dispute volumes, obviously made up predominantly of online or card-not-present based transactions, in the last few years, post-COVID until now, we're seeing a 34% increase And that's bearing in mind that, you know, pre-2019, we were already on a very steep trajectory in terms of dispute volumes. So obviously that's continued. That's a US stat, but we're seeing, you know, similar trends, certainly within MasterCard. You know, we're seeing similar trends across pretty much all markets globally. In 2022, potentially ideally around 17% of all transactions will be e-commerce based. That's obviously a big increase on pre-COVID levels. Obviously, that puts pressure on all of our supply chains and our online businesses, and obviously results in sort of somewhat of an organic increase in chargebacks. And then just some US stats. Again, US tends to have the best stats, which is why we tend to quote those, but again, very much global trends. The US, 2021 card not present fraud losses were $7.9 billion, and that was again a significant increase on you know, the 2019 levels. So what we're seeing here is obviously the good news is that we're seeing a boom in online activity, which is probably potentially, you know, fast-tracked the move from consumers, you know, from bricks and mortar stores into the online space or increased their volumes. But obviously as a side effect, we're seeing, you know, definite market increases in chargebacks. And as, you know, those of you, obviously the majority of you will have been sort of in this space for some time, as we all know, fraud and chargebacks tends to be quite a friction-filled experience, not one that many customers or cardholders particularly enjoy. And as a result, we need to find different ways to start addressing these concerns, particularly with these increases in mind. So, you know, the challenges that I'm going to talk about today, these are some of the ones that our customers at Ethoca and MasterCard, which is the parent company for Ethoca, that we're sort of hearing from our both our issuers and merchants and acquiring customers is obviously friendly fraud continues to be front of mind. Obviously, with more people moving online, there's the potential for customers to become potentially more easily confused with a higher volume of transactions that maybe they don't note quite as much as they do when they're potentially physically making a transaction at a store. Obviously, just the pure number of card-based transactions for many customers is increasing. And so we are seeing confusion as a regular issue. And we're seeing some of our issuing customers reporting that transaction confusion-related inquiries into the contact center or potentially their chatbot technology is actually, in some cases, the number one inquiry that they're seeing coming into the bank. So just showing you that customers are not necessarily getting enough information to recognize all of their transactions. And unfortunately, as a side effect, they'll often go into their bank, dispute a transaction, and potentially that ends up being a chargeback affecting our merchant community. In terms of rising chargebacks and costs, as I mentioned, the chargeback volumes are increasing rapidly. What comes with that is cost, obviously. Now, you may find that as your chargebacks increase, potentially you find ways, economies to make your per chargeback cost slightly more efficient. But obviously with the rising volumes, you know, ultimately for the majority of merchants we speak to, their overall chargeback costs are on the increase. And then we'll touch on some points that we've done some studies and research in this space from an Ethoca perspective, but, you know, we're certainly starting to see consumers and customers starting to, you know, expect more from their banks, more from their merchants that they transact at. And we're starting to see a lot of obviously fintech innovation or, you know, a lot of, you know, digital first based merchants who are bringing different experiences to their customers. And so those merchants or issuers that are, you know, maybe traditional players in the industry and maybe more of a historically physical, you know, bricks and mortar bank and or merchant, that heightened experience expectation is being driven by these new players into the market. And so these, you know, more legacy players are going to have to find ways to match those experiences, if not eclipse them, if they're going to keep their customers, business. And we'll touch on some of those stats in a second. So just some statistics here. The one on the left is a little bit of an old one. We don't have an updated false decline number, but just to give you an idea. So what we're talking about here is essentially some of the side effects of fraud and chargebacks. So, and obviously as we transition from, you know, more old school type fraud, which may have been, you know, people cloning credit cards and using those in person, as we move towards, you know, more friendly fraud, more online fraud as well, account takeover fraud, all these different forms of fraud that we're seeing. Obviously, that has potential different tools to solve for those pain points. So false declines is an interesting one. If you assume that friendly fraud is increasing in the far right here, we're saying that for many digital merchants, they're saying between 50 and 80% of all of their chargebacks are actually friendly fraud related. Other merchant verticals, it's as low as 10, but it probably averages out in the 20s or 30% mark. Now, if we know that a fairly significant portion of our chargebacks are actually friendly fraud, then we don't really want banks and merchants, having real-time fraud detection tools and trying to solve for friendly fraud with those with their real-time detection, because those tools are designed to look for somebody who isn't the customer. So when those tools are effectively trying to stop friendly fraud, they've got a very high chance of actually declining a genuine customer transaction. So those false decline numbers are obviously huge for the US. And we're in a position where in many cases we're actually causing more pain than we're actually solving for. And so we need to make sure we have the right tool for the right problem. Sort of touching on the cost of chargebacks, for every dollar that's disputed in the US, there's $1.50 worth of costs spread across the issuer and merchant. So, ironically, we're spending more in actual OPEX and capital expenditure than we are in terms of the actual problem we're trying to solve. Now, obviously, if we switched off all our systems, obviously fraud and chargebacks would obviously significantly increase. But it certainly shows you, if you look at the combination of the false decline, so good business we're turning away, combined with the pure cost of actually running, tools and teams, that we potentially need to make sure we do have that right tool for the right issue. Otherwise, we end up, in a negative outcome. And I'll touch on some of those different, sort of areas where we can start impacting, particularly friendly fraud, which is one that sits very different from our traditional third-party fraud attacks, which do tend to be solved with traditional tools. So just some more stats. We've done a lot of research. Not surprising, or maybe it is surprising, but 96% of cardholders that we or customers that we interviewed basically said that they're looking for more information about their transactions, and that currently they're not able to consistently identify their transactions via traditional means, being maybe a paper or an app-based statement from their bank. And obviously, if that's happening, then we're going to see more and more of those transactions ending up in disputes. And if they were actually a genuine transaction, the customer was just confused, obviously that's what we end up with friendly fraud. Not surprisingly, customers obviously post-pandemic, are going to be using their digital apps more because that's all they had during the pandemic in some cases. And obviously from a digital transformation perspective, customer experience now is pretty much the number one focus for most financial services organizations, and in fact, many merchants as well. So we need to adapt obviously to the changing those statistics around the digital boom. We need to now change what we're doing to make sure we're ready to deal with that and to meet the expectations of our customers. So in terms of some of the other chargeback related changes we've seen, this one is one that probably will surprise many people, but essentially at I think it's a global level, 25% of consumers have disputed a transaction in the last 12 months. So what that means for our issuer, and certainly for the issuers anyway, but also for merchants, is that, over a four-year period, most of your customers are going to have a dispute experience within the bank and within the merchant. So if that experience is negative, and certainly in my past life as at managing fraud departments in banks, those moments are what we used to call a moment of truth. So there's only a handful of experiences within a bank or a merchant that are actually one of those moments of truth. So that's where your customer is potentially, defensive, worried, concerned. You either get that right or you don't. And if you don't, we saw a significant link to attrition of customers. If you did get that experience right and it was positive, then we saw a positive correlation to retaining that customer over a longer period of time. So we need to make sure, if our customers are being affected this often, we need to make sure that experience is good in almost all cases, if not all. Now, service errors obviously is one that's becoming more common as well. We're actually seeing an increase in non-fraud disputes relative to fraud disputes. So they're obviously both going up potentially. In some countries, fraud disputes have actually declined slightly, but non-fraud have increased significantly over COVID. Obviously, a lot more people buying things online, having problems with their orders. And unfortunately, they still find that the easiest way to resolve that is to ring their bank and raise a chargeback. So that's something we need to be conscious of. And, you know, again, something that's probably not too surprising, but 50% of e-commerce merchants reporting, you know, more chargebacks now than pre-pandemic. Again, I don't think that's too surprising. And we also have a lot of new merchants in the e-commerce space who maybe had the majority or all of their business historically online and during COVID had to adapt. And now they're coming from, you know, obviously behind in terms of developing those capabilities. So in terms of what we're doing, this is probably more of a we're talking about a digital first approach. This is specifically, you know, where we're looking at dealing with e-commerce transactions and more specifically around friendly fraud. Although these kind of capabilities, which are available from, you know, many different vendors, you know, out there, these capabilities do sort of focus more on the fraud, friendly fraud space. So what we're looking to do is to say, well, if our customers are, you know, able to, you know, help resolve claims or issues, then we need to get information to our customers more quickly and more seamlessly, ideally through digital channels so they can self-resolve. And that might be, you know, many of the banks in Australia, for instance, send out SMS-based or push notifications around potential fraudulent transactions through their digital app. That's a great experience. Customer can just say, yes, it was me, no, it wasn't me. And then it goes into the, you know, either gets closed down or it goes into the fraud process within the bank. You know, that's a really good experience. And we're bringing the customer in to help basically solve for, you know, a potential risky transaction. Whereas in the old days, we used to potentially maybe just decline that transaction or potentially leave the card open and then see subsequent fraudulent transactions. In the newer space, we're now starting to say, well, that's great, but why don't we actually provide a lot more information about the transaction? And so, you know, in the case of, you know, Ethoca is one example of a provider out there that can provide additional context around the merchant in the form of extra, you know, clean merchant names, logos, you know, location information, all things to help the customer recognize the transaction. And if going that next step further, we can also provide full digital receipts for transactions. Obviously, that's where we can start to have customers self-resolve their own claims. Whether it be based on an alert from the bank, or in fact, if they're just checking their statements, they're not sure about a transaction, rather than ringing the bank, they look at their digital receipt, so, oh, yep, that was me, or that was my wife, and straight away, problem solved, great customer experience, never goes into the bank and certainly never becomes a chargeback. And that's where we're trying to bring it up, all of our disputes or inquiries, we're trying to solve for them as far up in the process as we can. Now, if the customer does ring the bank, right now, banks have very little information to resolve disputes with customers. So what they tend to do, unfortunately, is it tends to go into the chargeback process. And what we're doing and other vendors out there, we're trying to give the call centers more information so they can have a proper conversation with the customer. They get details about transactions. They get details about, you know, what was purchased. And then they can have a proper conversation with the cardholder. Even if the cardholder didn't look at the digital receipt online, they can say, hey, you know, this was a transaction. This was the merchant. You know, we can see that there was maybe some previous history there. There's a number of different ways that call center operator, and in fact, the back office in the next one from maybe a chargebacks team or fraud team within the bank can basically stop that claim before that friendly fraud claim before it becomes an actual proper dispute and ends up as a chargeback. And so we're really trying to equip the bank that currently has literally just the merchant descriptor that you would see on your statement. That's really all the bank has in terms of information about that transaction. So we need to equip them with better information. And we supply that via our digital receipt from our merchant customers who are able to provide us with that information. And then obviously the product that we're most familiar with from an Ethoca perspective, and many of you will be, is our alerts product. Obviously, you know, if the customer isn't able to self-resolve their claim, if the bank isn't able to resolve their claim, then we have our Ethoca alert solution where we can sort of seamlessly join the issuers and the merchants together to interact, obviously, with the idea of, you know, potentially resolving that claim pre-chargeback. And again, trying to take, we're hoping, you know, certainly at Ethoca and MasterCard, we're hoping to, you know, take out a significant portion of the chargeback volumes that are being seen in the ecosystem now and shrink that right down by trying to solve for these as far upstream as possible, reducing cost, reducing fraud and chargeback losses as well. Obviously, from a collaboration is a word we use very frequently at Ethoca. Obviously, we're building out an ecosystem. We're bringing in parties from all over, often traditionally issuers and merchants. We're also involving acquirers and payment facilitators, PSPs. We're bringing in data aggregators to help with building out our receipt network. We're building an ecosystem of players who can all work together, obviously with the intent of stopping fraud and chargebacks. and resolving them with minimal friction for the customer, a great experience for the customer, and obviously at the lowest possible cost to you, the merchants, and also our issuer customers. So just touching on what I mentioned before, this is the merchant details. There's a product that we have called Consumer Clarity. This is an example. There are other products out there that are somewhat similar. And what we're doing here is we're cleaning up what the customer would see in their digital banking app. And so we've built a huge database with the majority of merchants globally, and we can provide logos, clean merchant names rather than those sort of gobbledygook, numbers, letters, hashes that you might see on your traditional statement on the left here. And we're basically making it easy for customers to, just as they're scanning their transactions, to recognize which are theirs and which they potentially, if there was a legitimate fraud case, which maybe weren't theirs. And then where a customer potentially can't, the merchant information doesn't solve their concern. Maybe they recognize the merchant, but they don't remember making that transaction at that merchant, even if it's someone they've transacted with before. We can take that the next step, and we can provide a full digital receipt. And so that'll again have logos. It'll also have itemized information. So if I was, buying, four items at an electronics retailer, I would see all four itemized items on there, the tax amount, the total amount, maybe how I authenticated, plus other details about the merchant as well. And so all designed again to help the customer. They've solved for the who is it, the merchant. Now we're saying, what was that transaction? Again, in the majority of cases, customers' memories will be jogged by providing this information, and we can just deflect a claim or call into the bank and a potential chargeback very easily. And the customers love this experience. We're getting fantastic feedback from cardholders who are, and your customers as a merchant, who are accessing this information, which is really exciting. And we're seeing very high deflection rate of claims on merchants who are currently using this digital receipt service in particular. That's the end of the presentation. I hope that was of interest to you. As I was mentioning before, the world is changing. Obviously, the digital boom is upon us. Fraud and chargebacks are changing, and now it's up to us to obviously adapt our toolkit. We're obviously not going to throw out our old tools, but certainly there is a need in the modern world around card fraud and chargebacks for us to start adapting it and bringing the customer into that experience. Finding ways to resolve it without creating friction in the form of block cards or declined transactions, all of these things that customers really don't like, or even reissuing cards, which most cardholders really don't like if they've had fraud. So if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn or hopefully for some of you, I might see you at the event. I'm happy to have a chat about that. Hope you're all well, and thank you very much for listening. Thank you.
The top people from the top organizations with the latest thinking about the best strategies to use in the greatest industry on earth, retail. The retail conference from the Retail Bulletin, exclusively at Retech Europe, 8th and 9th of November. Search the retail conference for more details.
So welcome back to Stadium Australia. That was this week's Retail Risk Podcast, sponsored by Axis Communications. Thanks again to 3X Logic for their support. Also, hopefully enjoyed those presentations from our two title sponsors here at Retail Risk Sydney, Sensormatic and Ethica, of course. As you can tell, I am now at the Australian Fraud Awards. Skippy is over my shoulder getting ready and bouncing with excitement as well. Thank you for joining us on this week's edition of the podcast. We're now going to enjoy the Australian Fraud Awards, and we'll see you again soon. Thanks now. Bye-bye.